I know some of y'all want to write something down, so I really don't know what, as far as how to go about with this and preaching, but I'll just give you the 3 points, and that way I ain't married to the outline for a little bit. But we're going to cover all of it, all right? Does that sound good? All right. So we're going to take a look at a particular story in here that we're very familiar with, and it's right in the middle of a bunch of stories we're familiar with. So, Jesus and the maniac of Gadaris. How many of y'all? We all heard about Jesus and the maniac of Gadaris and him healing him and then him being sitting clothed and in his right mind. And most Baptists will tell you that means that he was in a suit and tie. Is everybody all right? And that he, I need somebody to help me. You have to understand his condition. He was naked, and though now he had some clothes on, Jesse. It wasn't a 3-piece suit. Amen. Is everybody all right? He didn't have on, and I'll go ahead and throw another wrench in everybody's. Is everybody ready for this? Jesus didn't wear a tie either. That's right. I'll move on with that. There's more scripture about Jesus having a beard than there is scripture about a preacher not having beards. I'd like to say something about that too. Amen. I need somebody to say amen. Amen. I really didn't want to get into all that, but I'd just like to say this. If there's one thing that I hate, it's tradition. When tradition contradicts the word of God. But we've all heard of the maniac. We've all heard of Jairus. How many of y'all have heard of Jairus? Might have heard it, Jairus or Jairus, but his daughter, she died. And Jesus, one of the resurrections that took place by Jesus, one of them was Jairus' daughter. He was a ruler of the synagogue, so we know he was a Jew. And so it was a resurrection of his daughter because she died. The reason she died is what we're going to deal with this morning. On the way to Jairus' house, Jairus had come. And he had come to Jesus and he said, my daughter is sick and she's sick unto death. In other words, Jesus, if you don't come, she's going to die. And the Bible says that Jesus went with him. And Jesus was going to go in verse number 24 and Jesus went with him. And the Bible says in 24 of Mark chapter number 5, are y'all there? Amen. And Jesus went with him and much people followed him. They were following him because of what he had been doing. I'm going to prove that here in a little bit, but they had heard of the miracles that Jesus was doing, and so they were following him. Anywhere he went, they followed him. But in this particular story, the Bible says that they thronged him. In other words, not only were they following him, a great following, but they had enclosed themselves upon him. You'll remember in Scripture in Mark chapter number 2, the Bible says that 4 men brought a man, and they carried the sheet, and they carried the man on his bed, and they brought him to Jesus, but they couldn't get in the house for the press. Right? Y'all remember that? This thronged, it has a similar meaning, that they were all together upon Jesus. It was a crowd following him, but more certainly around him, it was tight quarters with everybody close by. Jairus, he comes and he says, come, my daughter's sick, nigh to death, I need you. And Jesus went with him. The Bible goes on to tell us that these people followed him as he went to Jairus' house and they thronged him, they come around him. And in verse number 25, we meet a lady. The Bible says, and a certain woman, we're not given a name of this woman. We don't know a whole lot about her. I will put this out there that considering her disease and what she had going on in her life and in her body, I do not think that she was a Jew. I believe that this woman was a Gentile. Because of the Jews, by their laws and by the book of Leviticus, we learned that any woman that had this issue that she does, they were not to come in contact with anyone. They were not to be around anyone because by contacting anyone, that person would be unclean. She had to identify herself as unclean, but yet we don't see this woman identifying herself, nor do we see her avoiding the crowd. And so it could be that she was a Jew and she was just going to go against the law and she was going to get to Jesus. But I think it's possible that this was a Gentile that didn't know the law, but had heard of him.
Amen.
Now, this is a beautiful picture the Holy Spirit gives us right here, and I'm not going to take time to preach this. But Jairus, if in fact she was a Gentile, Jairus is a Jew, then right in the middle of Jesus restoring Jairus' daughter, a Gentile comes in on the picture with all kind of problems herself.
Amen.
And her faith made her whole.
That's right.
And then Jesus resurrected. Y'all ain't getting the picture right here, but it's a beautiful picture of Israel and the Jews. And how, matter of fact, when Jesus gets into the house, they tell him that the girl has died. And Jesus said, she ain't dead. She's just sleeping. Beautiful picture of where Israel is right now. And that woman that's come in, that this woman with the issue of blood being us, the Gentiles, are coming in. And now God, on the way to resurrect Israel. Hey, I need somebody to help me. He's saving some people along the way that don't have any right to it. That's good stuff. I don't care who you are, all
right?
The Bible says this woman had an issue of blood, which had an issue of blood 12 years. It's funny the Holy Ghost would put that, considering that he told us that Jairus' daughter was 12 years.
Amen.
I've heard some people say that they believe that this could possibly have been the mom. I don't know. Don't go tell nobody I said it was the mom, but isn't that a cool thought? I'll go on. Verse number 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, don't miss that. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. If I can just get to him, get close enough and just touch his clothes, she says, I can be made whole. I want you to notice the wording of that. The Bible says in verse number 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that. Look at what she says here. Plague.
Amen.
And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Oh, I need somebody to help me right there. What a question. What a God. The Bible says that he recognized that virtue, power had gone out of him. And he turned around and he said, who touched my clothes?
Amen.
Now, what did I tell you? The crowd was around him and the crowd had thronged him. And now he's asking the question of who touched my clothes? I need somebody to help me right here. He didn't ask who touched me. He said, who touched my clothes? Did y'all catch that?
Amen.
Who touched my clothes? And the Bible says, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? This is what they said. Everybody's touching you. How are we gonna individualize it? How are we gonna separate out who you're talking about? Everybody's touching you right now.
That's right.
This is what got me on this thought, man. This is what got me on this thought. Everybody was touching him. But there was only one of them that touched him in faith. Oh man. That's good stuff now. Everybody was touching him. But there was only one that touched him in faith.
Yeah.
There was only one that reached out in faith. There was many that were touching him. There were many that were around him. There were many that were there that day. But there was only one that reached out in faith and touched him. Say, now, how do you know that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible says in verse number 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And I don't know what all the truth included, but it could have gone back years, Brother Kent. She could have went back 12 years ago and say, this thing started off and it was just a normal day. It was a normal thing that was going on in my life, a normal thing that I have experienced as a teenager, and then all of a sudden it just didn't stop. And Jesus, I lost my family over this. I lost friends over this. I lost my husband over this because he wasn't going to stay with me with this issue of blood that I have. I don't know how much she told Jesus. But the Bible says that she told him all the truth.
That's right.
You know, that takes on a different meaning. If you understand that Jairus is standing there with a daughter that's about to die, and here this woman is taking her time.
Amen.
Let's go back 12 years and let's get this thing started. It goes on, the Bible says this. It says, and he said unto her, daughter. I love that. Because it starts off and it's just a certain woman, but it ends as a daughter. We don't know who she belonged to. We don't know where she came from. We don't know anything about her. But after she had touched him, he said, daughter. Hey, after she had touched him, he said, you my child. After she had gotten to him and touched him by faith, he says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I think that's all I wanted to do on the scripture reading on that. Y'all want me to give you the 3 points and then preach it? Because I know some of you is all about them points, all right? We look at this, I want you to notice the prelude that produced faith. I entitled it, Thy Faith Hath Made Thee Whole. There was a prelude. There was something in her life that produced faith. We'll talk about it. The performance that provoked faith, that's number two. There was a performance that she did because of her faith. We'll talk about that. And then the power that partners with faith. We're going to talk about that too, because many of us want it to be our own power, and the fact of the matter is we ain't got no power. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Now, can I preach?
Amen.
All right, so this woman comes. The Bible says it was a certain woman that came, and she came in the press. She came where Jesus was because she had heard of what he had done. You go back and you look at her life and we don't know. I touched on it just a little bit when I said that she told him all the truth, but we really don't know what all she'd been through. You and I can't understand that unless you've gone through what she's gone through, but for 12 years, she had bled every day of her life. For 12 years, she had been isolated from everyone around her. For 12 years, she had been unclean to anybody that would. Can I say this? This woman had a lot more going on in her life than just having a disease. Ain't no doubt there wasn't no man that, I need somebody, y'all got to help me and understand what I'm saying. There was no man in her life that was going along the journey with her and happy to be with her and was showing her love, welcoming her home and hugging her neck when she got home and telling her, well, I love you, baby, we're going to get through this. There was nobody like that in her life. She was going at this alone. The Bible says that she had suffered many things of the physicians. That means that people were just trying things on her. They were trying to do this and trying to do that, and it was putting her even in more pain and in more suffering. The Bible said she suffered because of the physicians. The Bible says that she went to many physicians. So we know that she was desperate. She wanted anybody, if there was an expertise or if she heard of somebody that might know a little bit about what she had going on, she probably traveled great distances just to go and try to get some help.
Amen.
The Bible says she spent all that she had.
Right.
Y'all, we don't understand that. We think we're broke if we can't. We think we're broke if we can't buy a Coca-Cola. We think we're broke if we can't pay a cell phone bill. We think we're broke. The Bible says she spent all that she had. You understand that? She has nothing left. There was no money. There was no food. There was no house to go back to. There was nothing. She spent everything she had, every penny that she may have had. That's why I believe she may have been divorced. Because the Bible, if you go back and you do some of the studying of the culture of that time, a man could leave his wife, but he had to pay an endowment if he left her and if he divorced her over a reason like this. And so he had to give her money. And the Bible says she spent money. But if you know culture, the women didn't make money back then. So I believe not only was this woman diseased and not only did she have all this going on in her, but I believe this woman had had a husband that walked away from her because she couldn't do what a wife should be able to do. And so somebody that said that they loved her, somebody said that I'll always be there for you, somebody that says I'll take care of you, they walked out on her.
Amen.
I need somebody to help me this morning. I think this woman is us. I think she's a picture of us. It might be gross and it might be ugly and your thoughts may be tortured and disgusted right now. But the fact is that in our sin, every single one of us was in the same place she is.
Amen.
Maybe there's somebody in here today. And man, the Bible says that there was a pile of people that were following. And the Bible says that they thronged him. I want to tell you this, and I want to tell you something. I bet there was a pile of people in that group, a big portion of that crowd that had problems too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yo, I told you I like to see things a little bit differently as I'm reading my Bible, but I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to tell y'all that while everything on Facebook might look perfect and okay, it ain't. And everybody that was thronging him, they were there for a reason. They had heard about him too, and they had something going on in their life. And I want to say this, everybody that was in that crowd needed to touch him.
Amen.
Everybody in that crowd needed to touch him. They may not have had the same disease as her, and they may not have had the same look as her. Their health may have been better than hers. Their family life may have been better than her. Their workplace may have been better than hers. But everybody that was there needed a touch that she got.
Amen.
Hey, y'all got to help me this morning. I think there's too many of us that are satisfied. Well, it's been like this for 12 years, so.
Amen.
It's been like this as long as I can remember. I'm going to say something about this woman. There was some point in her life where life was normal for her. At some point in her life, we don't know her age, so we can't really say when, but there's some point in her life, you might have to go back to when she was 11, 12 years old. You might have to go back to when she was a teenager. You might have to go back to when she was in her 20s, but there was a time in this woman's life where everything was normal.
That's right.
So, for all y'all that are sitting there thinking, oh, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm normal. Tomorrow could start your 12 years.
That's right.
it's true. I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody all right? Could just be the first week of your 12 years, and so you're really not. It's a little messed up, but you expect it to be over with pretty quick because that's how God does things. Oh, man, I can't eat, man. That's just the way it's always done. That's the way God always always take care of it. What if it's 12 years? This woman, she had to get to Jesus. She had no other choice. I told Michelle this week, I've been for the last, I don't know, well, I guess since Monday. Maybe Tuesday. I can't remember what day it was, but there was some day where it just hit me. It was like, you know, I spend so much time trying to deal with people that they're not They don't want it.
Amen.
They want me to do something for them, but I can't do it. And they want me to do this, and they want me to counsel them, and they want me to talk to them, and they want me to do all these other things, but they don't really want it. Hear me. Brother Sheldon, there was a multitude. And out of the whole multitude of people that was thronging Jesus, only one person wanted it.
That's right.
All the multitude had problems, but there was only one person that really wanted to be healed. There was only one person that really wanted to be fixed. There was only one person that said, I can't go home like this. I'll either die right here. I'm done. It's either now or never. I'm not going to. I got to get to him right now, today. This is the only.
Yep.
This is it.
Hallelujah.
And she got help.
That's right.
Everybody else touched him. But she was the one that got help. Why? Because she realized there ain't no physician that could fix her. There wasn't no money she could spend that could fix her. There wasn't no pills that she could take that could fix her. There wasn't nothing left for her to do but turn to the one that could.
Okay.
And see, the problem with most people today is they're still trying pills. They're still trying every avenue that they can. They're trying to fix their family by doing X, Y, Z. They're trying to do this and they're trying to do that. And here he is. Passing by every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, he's passing by, but they don't want it. They don't want to get close to him. They want to try the easy road. They want to try something else instead of just submitting to getting to him, no matter what it takes. She said, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I don't want to hear about another doctor. She says, I'm going to get to him. I'm going to get to him. Y'all better hear me. I'm going to get to him. I don't care. I don't care what's going on. I don't care who's standing. I ain't going to let nobody stand in my way. There was a crowd. I would like to submit this. I don't think she walked up and touched him.
Amen.
I don't think she walked up and touched him. The Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. The hem of his garment would have been around his feet. And so in a crowd, in a stampede, what? And, have you ever been on the ground with somebody when a crowd's walking? You don't want to be. Everybody all right? But when you get desperate enough, you'll do the worm through the crowd. I need somebody to help me. And I don't believe that she walked over to him and touched him. I believe just like we sang in that song, even if I've got to crawl, she crawled over there and she seen him passing by and she said, if I can just but touch his clothes, I can be made whole.
Amen.
Jesus said, who touched my clothes? She had a lot going on, but she's no different than you and I. The difference between her and you and I, oftentimes, is that she got to a place where she realized there was no help outside. I'm going to go back over here. She realized there was not any help outside of him. That was the difference between her and the rest of that crowd. That rest of that crowd still had money to spend. They still had a doctor to go to. They still had. Is everybody understand what I'm saying? They had options she didn't have. I want to know where you're at today. Now listen here. As I said, I can only help you. I can only lead you, but it's up to you. But here's the thing. How do you want to keep paying the doctors? I ain't talking about healing here. I ain't talking about healing. I believe God is a great physician, and I believe he can heal you. But what I'm getting at is your problem. You going to keep throwing money at it? You going to keep going to this self-help and this self-help? Hey, let's read a book on relationships for dummies. Oh, I know. We're going to read a book on finances for dummies. You do realize they're calling you dumb. And the people that are buying that book, you're the dummy. I need somebody to help me right there, all right? Don't get mad at the preacher. I'm just enlightening you, all right? I'm helping you with something. When they put a book out that says, this is for dummies, and you walk up to the counter and buy it, you're the dummy. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Hey, don't be dumb, all right? We're going to everything that we can, every way we possibly can. We're going here and we're going there, and your help's right in front of you.
Right.
Not me.
That's right.
Ain't what I meant when I said your help's right in front of you. It's not me. It's him.
Yeah.
Now listen, the Bible says that she heard. When she heard, I think it's in verse number 27. Let me look real quick. Yeah, go put up verse number 27, Miss Carrie. So this was her performance. The Bible says she heard of Jesus. Now I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there for about everybody sitting here. If you've been in this church for longer than a year, you've heard some things about Jesus.
Amen.
If you've been around church your life, you've heard about some things that Jesus is capable of doing.
That's right.
So you and I are in the same boat as she is in the fact that we heard of Jesus. Matter of fact, I submit to you this. We've heard more about Jesus than that woman ever did.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, y'all don't believe me? She heard some stories about Jesus. You and I heard we got a book full of them. We got stories about Jesus go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We've been privileged. We probably heard more about Jesus than she ever did before she touched him. So that's us. But she came. She heard about him, but I want you to notice this. She came to where he was at.
Right.
Hey, man, there's a lot of people that go through life wanting God to come to them and take care of all their problems. Y'all better hear me. I'm thankful that God did come. I'm going to go back here and preach. Y'all stay where you're at. God did come. 2,000 years ago, God came. He crossed a distance that you couldn't. He came where you couldn't go. He came from there and he came to here. He came here. But now it's on us to come to him. Does everybody understand that? We live life like God's supposed to show up and out whatever we got going on and just fix whatever we got going on, and we don't have any part in that. He just shows up where we are. I wonder if God said, I ain't going in there. God, I need you to show up in my life. I ain't going in there. I ain't even welcomed in there. I ain't been welcomed in there for the last 364 days. Ooh. Hello. But she came to him.
That's right.
The Bible says that she touched him. Bible don't tell us that he touched her.
That's right.
The Bible says that she touched him. So her faith, her circumstances that led to her faith produced a performance in her faith.
That's right.
She heard, she got close, and she reached out and she touched.
Amen.
Is everybody with me? I'm going to tell you something. You've practiced everything that verse has right there except touched his garment.
That's right.
You've heard about him. You've come to where he's at. Now this morning you're going to have an opportunity to reach out and what did I tell you that last point was? The power. We were talking about the power. This thing's been on me all week. Jesus turned around and he said, who touched my clothes? For virtue had gone out of him. Virtue had gone out of him. Let me look at that word up. That word means power. Power had gone out of him. I'm going to throw this out there and I'm going to move on. I'm done. He didn't. The power that went out of him wasn't all the power he had.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's exactly what Jerry has said. Thank you, Lord, that all the power didn't go out of him. Because he still had power to raise his daughter. But this is something I just couldn't turn loose of. she touched him, and there was a transfer that took place. Because of her faith, everybody was touching Jesse, but not everybody got the power. Everybody had touched his clothes, and everybody was around him, but she reached out in faith, and God's power came into her life. We walking around powerless, but it's not his fault. He didn't give her power. He didn't give her permission to touch him. Are y'all picking up what I'm throwing down? She didn't have to ask for that power. She didn't have to apply for that power to make sure that her affairs were in order. The Bible says she just, in desperation and in faith, touched his clothes and received that power. Some of us is wondering, why in the world my life is a mess? Because it's powerless. It's powerless because you're still running to this doctor and you're still running to that doctor and you're still running to this program and this book and that book, and you're missing out on the power. I hope y'all understand what I've preached this morning.
Amen.
This woman, just like you and I. Problems, just like you and I. Desperate, just like you and I. Heard about him, just like you and I. Came to where he was, just like you and I. But she went a step further and reached out to touch him. This morning, you going to sit there this morning? We're going to go through the same thing the next 12 years. We're going to go through the same thing for the next week, for the next month, for the next 2 years of our marriage, for the next 3 years of our workplace, for the next... Come on, I need somebody to help me. Or have you gotten to a place where you say, you know what? The only way my issues are going to be fixed is to get to him. God's, listen to me, y'all. God's power. Not your power. Your power, her power, had gotten her no closer to being healed in 12 years.
That's right. Amen.
His power.
Wow.
I'm going to go over here. They didn't even want it over there. I'm going to see if y'all want it over here. Her power for 12 years had gotten her nowhere. His power.
Amen.
In a moment. The Bible says immediately. She felt in her body that she had been healed. 12 years of her power, nothing to show for it. One moment of his.
Amen.
Somebody, y'all, if I had an organ player right now, it'd be coming. Is everybody all right? But since I don't, she's going to come to the piano. Somebody needs to get to him and touch him.
That's right.
You've heard about him. You came to see him. You came close. Now, by faith, you're going to have to reach out and touch him.
That's right.
Because his power can do more for you in a moment than your power can do for you in 12 years. Good thing about him is he don't cost a dime either. Don't have to have money to come to Jesus. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to walk to Jesus. You can just crawl up here if you need to. Heads are bowed this morning and people are coming around the altar because they need him. There's a family maybe in here this morning that's torn apart. You've been trying to fix it for years. It's time to come touch him. Maybe there's an addiction somewhere in the building and you've been trying to fix it for years. You need to come to him. You need to come touch him. I wonder with heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe there's something going on in your life. Maybe there's never been a time where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You've tried everything in the world to make yourself better. You've tried this and you've tried that. Maybe you're trying to do right, or you're trying not to sin, or you're trying not to do this or not to do that, thinking that somehow in your power you're going to be able to defeat this. Submit to you this morning that the only power to salvation is God. Paul said it like this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's looking around, it's just me. When you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved this morning. Preacher, I do not know what would happen to me if I died." If that's you this morning, I want you to just raise your hand right up where I can see it. Nobody will come to you. Is there anybody like that, to be honest? Just lift your hand right up. "Preacher, I do not know." Is there anybody like that? All right. The rest of us are sitting in here. Listen, if you ain't got something going on in your life, it could be the week before your 12 years. Could be the first week of your 12 years. Your 12 years could be right around the corner, so I want you praying. You're going to need God just as much as somebody that's come down here desperately trying to touch Him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning, Lord, thanking You for a good service. Lord, we thank You for loving us. Lord, I thank You for, God, our choir this morning, the good singing that we've heard. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd take what we've heard this morning. Lord, I pray that I've spoken in such a way that, God, people understand it. God, I pray that the right person was here this morning, the one that You had for this. I pray today, God, that they'd have the strength to reach out and touch You. Change their life in a moment, Lord. Lord, thank You for that power. September 28, 1997, in my life when You saved me. God, I thank You for this church. I thank You that I get to pastor it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we leave out of here knowing that, God, You love us. God, You want to be a part of our lives. God, I pray that we'll seek You out and touch You throughout our work week, throughout our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.